Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have passed the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, there's a reason why they call us Coach Dave live, because we are. We are live, and you're probably taking a look at this picture right now and saying, what's going on there? Where's Coach? Is he in his studio? What's going on? Nope. I'm in a McDonald's, believe it or not, up near Cleveland, Ohio. Getting ready to fly to Austin, Texas today for the rally to criminalize abortion. It's going to be a rally tonight. Going to be some on-the-street stuff tomorrow. And so I got up real early this morning. I fly Allegiant Air. I don't know if you guys have heard of Allegiant Air, but it's really, really cheap. I got a flight for about half price, but I had to come to Cleveland to do it. And Chris Fletcher's going to meet me up there, Chris and his wife, and we're going to fly down there together. I'm looking out this window. I'm in McDonald's, and so if I whisper sometimes, it's because there's a whole bunch of guys right over there, and they keep giving me dirty looks. They look like deplorables, those guys over there. I think I'm okay. Anyway, I wish I could show you right here. I'm sitting here. We need to do a show on this. You gotta see the chemtrails. If I could turn the camera so you could see it, I would do it. But the reflection of the light on the window—I just—it's like unbelievable. It's like there's a web. Right over. See, the sun's just now starting to come up here in Cleveland, and it's coming up from the east, and the entire eastern sky looks like a spider web. There's one flying over right now. I don't even know. Let me see. Can you guys? You guys probably can't see over the reflection in the background. They're everywhere. You know what I do? I go out with guys, and I see days like this. I was playing golf with my nephew the other day. He's 40 years old. He's not a puppy. And I pointed up, said, look at those things. What do you think of that? You know, he looked at me like I was crazy. He says, well, those are just contrails. That's just coming out of the back of the plane. I said, really? Sort of like when you go out in the cold and you blow air. And we see it come out of your mouth. Is that kind of what you're talking about? He says, yeah, that's what it does. It's condensation. I said, really? Let me ask you something. When you go out of your house and you blow air and it turns into a cloud, does it stay there? Does that cloud coming out of your mouth when you can see your breath, does it stay there all day? And he says, well, no, doesn't do that. He says it kind of dissipates. I said, well, how come these clouds here aren't dissipating? How come? I wish you guys could see this. I wish you could see this right here, right now. Because we know this, that they do these chemtrails a lot when there's rain in the forecast. It's weather manipulation. A lot of things going on there in this country that we got to. Hey, JR, that's the ultimate tinfoil hat stuff. But I'm going to tell you. There they are, brother. There they are. My goodness. Well, I'm going to quit looking at them because I'll just get scared. Then I'll be afraid to get up in the airplane. I had a great show last night on Hagman and Hagman. Did anybody get a chance to watch that last night? I came away as a little bit I'm always honored to be able to get on there with that Hagman and Hagman crowd. But I was afraid last night that sometimes I have a tendency to come across too preachy, you know? That is who I am. I mean, I can't stop being who I am. But, you know, a lot of those guys in the Hagman and Hagman report and that audience is out there, and God bless them all. They're tinfoil hat central, right? But not everybody who's tinfoil hat central understands the spiritual significance of what's going on. And so when I get an opportunity to go on a show like that or even on this show, I always try to bring in the spiritual significance that Washington, D.C. is a beehive of demonic activity. The average person doesn't even know what you're talking about when you talk about demonic activity. So I tried to go into all that stuff last night and had an hour with them. Thought we did a pretty good job. And Joe Doug Hagman commented last night They're doing everything they can now to shut alternative news sources down. Alex Jones at InfoWars, say what you want to about Alex. They're doing everything they can to shut him down. Natural News, Mike Adams. That website's been up forever. I go there a lot. Natural News. They've absolutely done something with the algorithms that you cannot do a Google search and find that website anymore. You can't find that website. You can't find it on Google. Can't find it on Yahoo News. I was watching a video as I was driving up here this morning on that. And we know this. Hey, Jared, come on, man. They're messing with YouTube numbers. They can say what they want to. You know, when our show's over, tomorrow there'll be 216 views. See, I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I don't believe that, because just the reaction that I get on Facebook and the reaction I get on in my email, there are more than 216 people out there that are watching this show, and they're going to try really, really hard to see. They've had such a great media monopoly, right? It began back in the 1960s. I say that the day America died was the day that John F. Kennedy was killed in Dallas, November 22nd, 1963. And the reason it was the day that America died is after we saw that Zapruder film and saw that broken down over the next 5 years, we knew that our government had lied to us. We knew it. Anybody ever been there to Dealey Plaza? Let me see some thumbs up. You ever been there? You need to go there, because if you go to Dealey Plaza, you'll know that there's no way that happened the way that they said they did. They drove him into an ambush, clearly drove him into an ambush. And then they gave us that phony Warren report and tried to convince us that it was a magic bullet theory and Oswald acted alone. And that's just not true. And ever since then, Dan Rather and what was that guy's name? Walter Cronkite. Most trusted man in America at one point was Walter Cronkite. Now we know that that's not true. He was a communist shill. And the media has gone fake news ever since that time. It just gets worse and worse and worse. We were having a discussion here before we went on the air last night after the Hagman and Hagman report. Again, I'm in McDonald's, so I'm looking around to see if anybody's going to come and club me over the head here. I got my cross hat. I was going to wear Make America Great Again, but didn't. I figured that'd be a little too risky. But on Hagman and Hagman last night, they began talking about the fact that they now are beginning to be censored. And that this battle is so big and so real that the last thing they can do is permit the truth to be able to get out. That's where our battle lies. But again, guys, JR, you know what I'm talking about when I tell you this. I've seen over the last 15 years, back in 2001, I think it was, 2001, I started a radio program on a terrestrial radio station, big Christian radio station here in Columbus, Ohio, Salem Communications, large station. I was on that for about 3 or 4 years. And ever since then, I got off that station and I went to another little FM station because they didn't give me as much of a hassle. Ever since then, I've been trying to get back on terrestrial radio. And you know what? No way, man. Too many gatekeepers, even within the Christian community. And as a result of that, we are getting very, very packaged news. You turn on your local Christian radio station, and it's all preaching. It's all preaching. And nothing wrong with preaching. I like preaching too. But there's no warning. There's no one. Heaven forbid they let Pastor Wayne on talk about prepping. Are you kidding me? No way. No way. See, tinfoil hat stuff. And I made the point yesterday, and I made it last night on Hagman. You ought to see these chemtrails. Oh, my goodness. Can you guys see those over there? Look at that. It's like there's an explosion. Easy, criminy. Made the point on Hagman and Hagman last night that I really believe that part of the issue we're dealing with is a theological. It's theological. And that so much of our Baptist churches in particular have so bought in, they have put all of their eggs into the rapture basket. And I'm not here to argue about the rapture. It doesn't matter to me. As I say to everybody, I could go home today. I mean, I could hit a tree. My plane could go down. Rapture would be irrelevant to me at that point. When you die, you cross over, right? The idea that we're going to be rescued out of here has paralyzed Christians. And I think that began back with the reestablishment of Israel in 1948. We can get into all we want to about Israel, and God's chosen people, and God's promise to that land. We can get into all that stuff. But we now have a segment of American Christianity. You ready? They worship Israel more than they worship America. That's not the right word. It shouldn't be worship. They love Israel more than they love America. And as a result of that, we've taken our focus off what's going on around us, and we have stopped being the gatekeepers or the salt of the earth that we were supposed to be. And things have gotten so bad now that the average person isn't going to speak up because they just don't take the hassle. Just don't take the hassle. What do you think, man? Somebody jump in here real quick. Let me catch my breath here. What do you think about that? The whole idea that we have absolutely no obligation to the culture. None. And I'm just saying that before we went on the air here today, I'm flying to Austin today. And it's too bad that people have to come all across America. It's interesting, isn't it, that the left has people come all across America. They pay their protesters to come all across America. They don't have any problem getting out. But we can only get a handful of people to go to Austin, Texas. Now, just kind of curious, anybody have any idea maybe how many churches there are in Austin, Texas? Do you really think that if the church in Austin, Texas wanted to, they could come out and they could influence the legislature there in Austin, Texas to do away with abortion, to pass this abortion bill? Can you explain to me why I got to fly all the way down there? We're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, henceforth good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under men, foot of men. That's what we're dealing with here, boys. So yesterday, on yesterday's show, I kind of ended up where I want to try to jump in here today. And that was the idea of the Ten Commandments of America, which was the Bill of Rights, and we went through those yesterday. And now understand that almost every one of those Ten Commandments in America, they're not being followed anymore. They're not being followed. I said to Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy, some of you know her, some of you don't. She made the Drudge Report yesterday. She made Alan West's website. She made the New York Times. She made Fox and Friends because she was banned from Facebook for quoting the Bible in regards to sodomy. They banned her from Facebook. Now, I said, sue. Well, to sue. They said, well, it's a private organization. I said, well, so are those bakeries that are being forced to bake cookies for sodomites. Those are private organizations, too. Facebook is more than just a private organization. It is a monopoly. It's a monopoly. And so they are actively censoring what they don't like. So we gotta figure out if we're gonna put up with it, if we're gonna get a battery of attorneys and go after them, sue Facebook for $100 billion, settle for $50 million, something like that. That's the only thing they understand. Michael, did you want to jump in here, man? I don't have my glasses, but it looks like you're leaning forward yet.
Yeah, I wanted to say this. We were talking about this a little bit before you started. The thing is about Christians fighting. You know, when you look at the gospel, when Peter defended Jesus in the garden, Jesus told him to put up his sword. Well, he told him at that time that that's not the way it's going to happen here. But in another gospel, and I think Pastor Wayne could probably quote it better than I could, but the thing is, isn't there a place where Jesus does tell his disciples that they got to have some swords with them for protection? We got a concept that says Jesus never fought anything, and that's not true, because he was always fighting with his words against the Pharisees and Sadducees and what was going on in his time. So there is a moment and a time when Christians fight back. Otherwise, we would have been overrun by the Muslims in history a long time ago. And it's because we had a fighting Christianity that destroyed in Spain. They did it in Europe with the Battle of Lepanto. So there is a part where we can fight back. And that's what we have to do in this day, like Trump is doing.
Amen, brother. In fact, I'm right now, Jared, get this up here for me, brother, because I want to take you through this. Again, guys, this is a real, real serious mindset that we have to overcome. Go to Ecclesiastes 3, Jared. Jared, did you try to jump in here? Did I walk on you? I thought I heard somebody.
It was me. I was just going to quote Revelation 13:10 real quick.
Go ahead.
It says this, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. So there's going to be some fighting.
Yep. And see, here's where we miss it, Pastor Wayne. Folks, please understand this. When Jesus came, if you study the scriptures, Jesus' problem was not with the Romans. In fact, he stood before Pilate and he said, "You have no authority over me unless it had been given you from on high." Jesus' authority structure were the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were the ones that held sway over him. They were the ones under whose authority he was. And so when Jesus is arrested in the garden, Peter grabs out his sword and cuts off the ear of that guy. And Jesus said, "Peter, put away your sword." It was because Jesus did not want to start a fight with the Romans who had no authority over him. And he knew that if just by the cutting off of the ear, now all of a sudden they invited the Romans in. You ought to see the chemtrails. Oh my God. They invited the Romans. When he cut off the hair, the ear of that centurion, they now invited the Romans in. And Jesus was saying to him, "Listen, our fight is not with the Romans because they don't have any authority over us. Our fight is an in-house fight. Our fight is with those of our own household. This religious system, that's where our fight lies." It's the same thing when Jesus, people said, "Did Jesus pay taxes?" I had this stuff ready for me. Because there's a situation, I think it was Peter again, one of them, they went to him and said, does your boss pay taxes? See if somebody can find that. I don't have my Bible with me today. Does your boss pay taxes? And I think it was Peter said, "Well, sure he does." And a few verses later, Jesus calls Peter over and says, Hey, Pete, what's wrong with you, man? He says, "Who pays taxes here? The king's children? Who pays taxes?" Somebody find that for me, because you probably think I'm lying. If I had my own Bible, I could open it up. He said, "No, the king's children are free." And then he said this, "So that they do not have a bone to pick with us," my words, "we'll go ahead and pay it. We don't have to." That's what Jesus said, right? And he went over, and what did he do? He found a coin in the mouth of a fish. So he gave that coin to the government, the Roman government. But isn't it amazing? He didn't have to work for it. When it says render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, understand this. That's a question. If you think that's Caesar's, you go ahead and give it to him. Whatever it is, whatever you think belongs to Caesar, buddy, you obey him. Go ahead and you render unto Caesar whatever is Caesar's. And you render unto God that which is God's. Well, here's the question. What belongs to God and what belongs to Caesar? Does your money belong to Caesar?
It all depends on who your God is.
Wayne, that's good.
Caesar thought he was God. That's why they put his image on the coin. So
that's
if
right.
You worship him, you give it to him. But if you worship God, you give to God.
Isn't that cool? And what a misteaching we've done on that, see? Hey, Jared, if somebody, Wayne, if you could Google, then the children of the king are free. I think you'll find the verse that I'm looking for. And I don't have my.
I think it's Luke 20:20.
I think that might be where it is. Jared, let's go ahead and pull that up. Then we'll come back to Ecclesiastes. Because, I pay my taxes. I pay my taxes. But I'm going to ask you this. At what point do we stand up and say no more? They're killing babies with it? I'm sorry. I ain't going to do it anymore. At what point do we do that?
There's a fellow I know that says we serve the God we see.
Right. I'm looking right here, Wayne. I'm not sure this is it. Let's see. No, and No, and they couldn't say, oh, no, the incentive. That's not it. There's a different spot.
Okay, we'll find it.
Yeah, we'll find it, because I want you to, I don't want you to think I'm making it up. Or maybe we could Google Jesus and taxes. Well, somebody's Googling that. Jared's looking for a good spot here. Because you got to see it. It's very, very clear.
Coach, it's in Luke chapter 20, verses 20 to 26.
22, Jared, let's go there.
Okay, Luke, there we 20, go. 20.
Okay, Luke 20, 21. 20,
26.
Yeah, it's up on the screen here, guys. Look at this now. And they ask him, 22. And they ask him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest, teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Now, that's not the one I'm looking for, Mike.
Okay, Matthew 17, 26.
That might be it. Matthew 17.
Matthew 17.
I want you to see this, guys. This is so clear. Again, I pay AIRS, I pay my taxes. Okay. 17:26. Oh, there we go. There we go. And verse 24. Y'all see this? And when they came to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, hey, does Jesus pay taxes? See, they're trying to trap him, right? The Romans are trying to trap him. These isn't the leaders of the church. These are the Romans. And Peter says, yeah. 25. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus pulled him aside. Say, dude, what are you thinking, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter said, why, of strangers. Jesus says, that's right, bud. The children are free. But notwithstanding, we don't want to offend them. Go thou to the sea, cast a hook, take up the fish that cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. You take that and you give it to them for me and for you. Here's the key. Why did he do that? Because he didn't want to get taxed. He didn't want to get crucified for being a tax evader. See this? Do you know that there wasn't even an income tax in America till 1917? Wasn't even one. We didn't even have one. And then it was supposed to be a war tax. And now we see that about half, at least half the money that you earn goes to taxes. Jared, let's go back to Ecclesiastes 3. You guys, I wish you were sitting here on my lap. Chemtrails. I'm looking for Twilight Zone. I'm looking for Rod Serling. Holy smoke. Jeez. Okay. If I was playing my guitar, this is turn the birds, remember? To everything, turn. There is a season, turn. At times, every purpose under heaven. A time to be born. I better quit singing. A time to die. A time to plant. A time to pluck up. That would just plant. I'll quit singing. A time to kill. What? A time to kill. And a time to heal. A time to break down. And a time to build up. A time to weep. A time to laugh. A time to mourn. And a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. And a time to gather stones together. Time to embrace, and a time to stop embracing. Time to get up, time to lose, time to keep, time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time of silent to keep silent, a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Boys, right there it is. Right there. And all you got to do is, oh, where is this? I'm sorry. My brain's just going 1,000 miles of Google this, Jared. The Lord is a man of war. A man of war is he, I believe. It's Old Testament. We serve a God of war. We serve a God of war. I want you to see this. It might be in Samuel. Exodus 15:3. Let's try that one, Jared. See what it says. I'm not trying to make you violent, I'm trying to make you crazy. I'm just trying to help you to see the truth. What's it say, Jared?
You're a child of the 60s. You and Bob Dylan sing well.
Yeah. Verse 3. Verse 2 of Exodus 15. Verse 15. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Hey, Wayne, that's pretty clear, isn't it? That's pretty clear. Because, see, the truth is, here in this natural world in which we live, we know scriptures tell us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We understand the battle in the spiritual realm. You ought to see these chemtrails. But the reality is, war in the heavenlies manifests itself in war in the natural. And if we're going to advance the kingdom of God, sometimes it has to be advanced by the sword. And see, then we lose this also. We say, well, coach, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Okay. Does that mean you don't use the sword? Say, man, when you go out to war, you better be ready because they're going to be hacking back at you.
Hey, Dave.
Live or die by the sword. Yeah, Roger.
You know, one thing on the sword issue also, and I don't know if this is throughout the Bible, but it could be in writings that support it along the same time, is they may have brought the sword and it prevented things from happening. You know what I'm saying?
It did.
It wasn't always that Jesus said, bring the sword, we're going to go slice and dice. It may have been bring the sword, the mere fact that the Christians were prepared, the disciples were prepared.
That's right.
Probably stopped some things.
Well, we know that it wasn't offensive war most times. It was defensive war, right? For sure. But we got to understand, guys, as much as we don't want to hear it, Romans 13, as much as we don't want to admit it, Jesus led a rebellion. He led a rebellion. That's what he did. He led a righteous rebellion against an unrighteous religious system. And so the dichotomy or the box we find ourselves locked in is, what do we do when the system that we are living in has become unrighteous and unholy? Do we continue to go along to get along, or does it reach a point where we say enough is enough? So, see, this is a little different here in 2017 because separation of church and state. Not really, see. There was a combination of this Christian land with Christianity. They were intermingled, and the idea was that we would live by Christian principles. Our government would be set up on Christian principles. So there was an interlocking of the church and the state. There was an interlocking. And when they told us in that lie of the separation between the church and state, when they told us that those two things were different, what we saw was an overthrow of morality. Said, oh, no morality? No Christianity? Okay, then we'll do what's right in our own eyes. And it's been from that point on, that was 1947, it's been from that point on that we have lost control of all morality in our government. All morality. Nobody does what's right anymore. Very few do. They all have a different agenda at work. I got a video I want to show you. Anybody want to say anything here? Yeah. Morality and state. Yes, there you do, brother. And Jared, listen, folks, you better understand this. If your spirit, if there's a separation between spirit and body, we call that death. You understand that? You take your spirit out of your body, you is dead. Your body is dead, buddy. And so what we see happen to us more morally in America is the separation between the church and state. We've taken the spirit out of our government. We've taken the life, the true moral life out of our government has been pulled out through judges who make up rules, make up laws, and and we find ourselves following. Am I sounding like an anarchist here today? Not trying, just trying to open your eyes up and understand, fellas, the listen. Wow, hey, y'all see these chemtrails. The devil's team is going to push and push and push and push and push. And they couldn't care less about right and wrong, morality, truth-telling. They couldn't care less. We are going to be forced to contend with this. We're going to be forced to, guys. And I know that we don't understand that, but hey, baby, that's the truth. Jared, here's what I want you to play right now. I gave you a lot of great stuff up there. I'm sorry, Jared. Let's go down. And, Jared, I want you to play, Hugo Black, it says. The wall that Hugo Black built. This is a little video I made about, I don't know, 5 years ago maybe. The wall that Hugo Black built. The wall of the separation between the church and the state. That began the downfall of morality in Christian America. This is about, I think it's about 7 minutes. Go ahead and play that real quick. Well, that is so stupid of me. Well, here it comes, bud. It says here, it says you got it. I'm going to forward it to you right now. And then you're going to have it. And then we'll play it. Because it's very, very informative. Okay, you should have that coming to you, Jared. And you open it up. It says Hugo Black. It's like down towards the bottom. The wall that Hugo Black built. And I've explained to you what this means, but the video will do it.
Coach, while you're looking for that, we are in an information war. We really are.
We are. We are.
And we, the church, seems to be just receiving and never sending.
That's a good point, JR.
We're allowing not only that to happen to everybody.
We are the worst of all censors. You know that you know, and I know Salem Media is censoring stuff that they don't want the church body to hear. You know that.
Yep.
You know. See, guys, you can say what you want. If this show was on terrestrial radio in Columbus, Ohio, this would be a rage. We would draw both sides. It would be unbelievable radio. But see, the church, again, they want to be. They want to withdraw from the culture. They don't want to be involved in the culture. They don't want to be church, pastors and churches. They don't want to be challenged to do all that stuff. That's why they give us that same old preaching over and over and over. Expository preaching with no connection between what's going on in the world. Okay, Jared, if that's ready, go ahead and play it, man. It's 7 minutes.
Good morning, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer for NewsWithUse.tv at NewsWithUse.com. You know, we're in a mess in America today because it says in the I believe it was the Book of Kings, that when there was no king in Israel, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that's really where we are in America today. There is no moral right and there is no moral wrong. If it feels good, do it. Who are you to judge? Let's be tolerant. Let's be diverse. How do we get in this mess? How do we get in the mess we find ourselves in America today? I put before you this morning that the greatest lie ever perpetrated upon the church is the lie of the separation between the church and state. That's what we're going to talk about today in our little series entitled Judicial Tyranny, Legislation by Judges. You know, up until 1947, the Bible, for the most part, was the basis of all moral law in America. The Bible was. Our laws have all been based upon it. People would argue about that. And they said, well, no, those aren't the Bible laws. Those are just the views of the society and the views of the community. Those are the laws. No, folks, that's just not the truth. That many of our laws, up until 1947 in the Supreme Court case entitled Everson versus the Board of Education, the Bible was the foundation. And we spoke the other day, if you didn't see that video, you want to go back and catch it, about stare decisis, previously decided cases. How do we get in the mess we were in? Well, in 1947, Everson versus the Board of Education, there was a case that came before the Supreme Court of the United States where they wanted some public money to go to support private schools. One of the schools that they wanted to support was a Catholic school. And Hugo Black, who was on the Supreme Court at that time, was a former Ku Klux Klan member and very anti-Catholic. And he was very concerned, probably thinking he was doing the right thing, wanted to prevent money from the government to going to the Catholic Church and supporting the Catholic Church. He hated Catholicism. He hated Catholics. So in the decision, Everson versus the Board of Education, where they merely wanted money to go to transport kids to private schooling, Hugo Black went back into time and he inserted into the Constitution a letter that was written by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist, where Thomas Jefferson recited the separation between the church and state. You can find that by just Googling Jefferson's letter and read what he wrote to the Danbury Baptist. And the separation between the church and state, if you would go back and read that, you would find out that that meant merely that the state, in England, the king was the head of the church and he was the head of the government. He was both. And when we founded this new nation, we made those two separate so that the king, the president, would never also be the head of the national church. Now, we know that there were Christian denominations. In fact, at that time, the colonies were set up by denominations. Pennsylvania was Quaker, was Dutch Quaker. Rhode Island was Baptist. Massachusetts was Episcopal. All of the states had their own denominations. That's why it was a separation between the church and the state. But then the Everson versus the Board of Education decision in 1947, Hugo Black, in effect, erected a wall that forever changed America in regards to the freedom of religion in America. He, in fact, rewrote the First Amendment to the Constitution in his decision. Now, it didn't seem like it was a very big deal at the time when they came out with a decision that no public monies could go to support Catholic institutions or private religious institutions. And at that point, you know, we have to look back in our history. You know, when I was in school, there was prayer in school. The Ten Commandments were posted on the wall. And if you look around America today, you'll understand that what we're doing is we are jackhammering the Ten Commandments off of the walls. It was once established. The Christian moral code was once established as a tradition in America. That's how we raised all of our children. But after 1947, after the Everson versus the Board of Education decision in 1947, by the way, a 5-4 decision. That's pretty close, isn't it? One judge flips. It goes entirely the other way. There was no legal precedent at all for that decision. Hugo Black said, no more can public money go to religious institutions. Didn't seem like a big deal. But as we found out from the Stare Decisis, we're going to get into this in the next few videos. As we found out from Stare Decisis, it was the foundation upon which all of this mess that we see in America today has been built. As I said earlier, the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When you remove the Bible as the moral code of America, when you remove it, everyone does what is right in his own eyes. We're reminded in Isaiah verse 9, where the scriptures say, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. There can be no doubt, folks, that our founders, when they put together the American Constitution, they founded it on Christian values. Not that we are a Christian nation. Not that everyone has to be a Christian, but that those laws and those rules would be the basis for all moral law in America. Everson versus the Board of Education, a 5-4 decision in 1947, and in fact, rewrote the First Amendment to the Constitution and began judicial tyranny, where the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was removed off of the throne and government became God. That's how we got in this mess. So follow this line. Everson versus the Board of Education. Stare Decisis. Previously decided decisions is what led to the mess we find ourselves in America. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer.
Okay, Jared. So let me piggyback on top of this now, because it's important for us to understand. Stare Decisis means established court rulings, right? That's what they want us to believe, that once a court's ruled, that is now the law of the land. So in 1947, when Hugo Black rebuilt that wall, the wall that Hugo Black built, So there's a separation between the church and state. In 1961, prayer was taken out of the schools. Based on what? Stare Decisis. Separation between the church and state. In 1963, Bible reading was taken out of the schools. Why? Separation between the church and state. 1973, a woman was granted the right to kill her baby. Why? Because Christian morality had been removed. There's a separation between the church and state. You can do whatever you want to do. In 1980, based on that same decision, Stare Decisis, in Stone versus Graham, 1980 in Kentucky, they took the Ten Commandments off of the wall. And I try to point out to everybody that today they are jackhammering the Ten Commandments off of the wall because it was already established as law. You understand? And then we can go on farther. We can go to Lawrence v. Texas, the sodomy law. And then we can go to Obergefell, and that's the what? The gay marriage law. All of it based on this lie that there was a separation between the church and the state. And so we got in the mess because, again, we allowed the judges to rewrite the American Constitution. Separation between the church and the state now trumps free speech, freedom of religion. There is no longer freedom of religion in America today. If some homo wants you to bake him a cake, your religion goes out the window. Why? Because there's no established religion. You can't use religion. You can't use that anymore. So that's connection. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. And until we go back and reestablish those foundations, rebuild those foundations, I told you this yesterday. I was in the school and at Thomas Worthington, and oh my goodness, those kids don't have any idea about the Bible. They don't have any idea about our Christian heritage. They have no idea. I don't know how we possibly rescue them back. I don't know how we get it back. We're so convinced that you're not allowed to pray before. Hey, praying before a football game. Roger can attest to that. I got in trouble for praying before a football game. First Amendment, right? Freedom of religion. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise of this. That's a connecting phrase, nor. No establishment, nor prevention of free exercise thereof. So I said in the locker room, hey, you don't have to pray. But the fact that you don't want to pray doesn't mean I can't. You want to come into our locker room and tell us we can't pray because the government, some Supreme Court guy says we can't pray? Well, what happened to freedom of religion? What happened? See, if I get 60 guys in our football locker room and two guys don't want to pray, and 58 do pray, but we can't because the courts say we can't, whose rights have been violated? See, that's what we have permitted them to do. In another age, we'd have said, okay, you don't want to pray, just keep your mouth shut then. Step outside the building, whatever. And because we've bought into this lie, the church has bought into this lie as well. We're not fighting to reestablish. There's no separation between the state and morality, not church and state. They made it morality and state. Now you can do whatever the hell you want to do. You can be a girl and be in the Boy Scouts. You can be a man and be a woman. Why? We lost all common sense. Jump in here, Attorney Weaver. Tell me if you think I'm wrong. Michael?
Coach, I wanted to also say it shows you how confusing it is with the church. Now we've got Catholic bishops that say that they go against what Trump says should be the law. We've got the church all confused, not doing what it's supposed to do, stand for moral principles. It's so confused, it's now a part of the government. The government gives money to the churches to take care of the immigrants and all of this stuff. So it's a complete mess. We have to start over from scratch.
Amen, Michael. That's why I think whatever's coming is going to be good. Because if the nation falls apart, I mean, that's almost unthinkable, isn't it? Except 130 years ago, it fell apart. It's happened before. And I think that this might be where we're heading to again. Maybe there'll be an area of America where it's Christian, that Christians can go live there. I think there are good things on the horizon. Somebody tried to jump in here and I walked on you. Sorry. No? You follow my line of thinking here? You see what's happened to us? Why is abortion legal? Well, you can't push your morality on anybody. Well, I said, you're not allowed to murder anybody. Yeah, but you can't tell a woman what to do with her own body. So the right to murder your baby comes from the fact that nobody can tell you what to do with your own body. You can't have you can't sell your body. You can't be a prostitute. You can't inject drugs in your body. You're not allowed to do that. They'll throw you in jail if you're putting drugs in your body. But you can kill your baby? Just shows us how morally confused we are. Somebody jump in here.
You can also kill yourself too.
Well, are you really allowed to? We're trying to head towards that. I would call it assisted physician, assisted suicide, right? Suicide. I think right now, not sure. I think it's against the law to kill yourself. They just have a hard time. They just have a hard time enforcing it. I mean, how they put a dead man in jail, right? I know this, JR. Some insurance policies, some life insurance policies don't pay for suicide. So our society still thinks suicide's wrong. Don't miss this. Scriptures tell us that all those who hate me love death. And so if we just open our eyes and we look, every form of death, debauchery, and destruction is being forced by the God-hating left. They love death. Homosexuality is a death style. It's not a lifestyle. Abortion kills a human being. It's not a medical procedure. You go down through the whole thing. Assisted suicide. The right to die. We've lost our stinking minds, boys.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you know what? We have situational ethics. It really depends on the situation on what we should do, doesn't
yes, it?
I mean, it, you know, there shouldn't be a moral compass. It's the situation that should dictate everything.
Yeah, so George, the idea that we could remove all morality or change all morality and something else wouldn't fill the void, that's pretty stupid, isn't it? That's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
And so we removed Christianity and we brought in humanism. Humanism. Do a Google search on it. Humanism is a religion. It's a religion. Evolution, did you know this? Is a religion. So the fact that there's no religion in school, that's a lie. There's all kinds of religion in school. Evolution, humanism, socialism, those are all welcome in school. It's the true religion of Christianity that's not welcome. In fact, Islam's welcome, isn't it? Can't we see what's going on? Can't we see what the enemy has targeted? We're really deceived. Will we get it back? I don't know. Hey, Jared put it up there on the screen. Humanism is a philosophical and ethical stance that emphasizes the value and agency of human beings individually and collectively, and generally prefers critical thinking and evidence, rationalism, empiricism, over acceptance of dogma or superstition. That's religion, superstition. The meaning of the term humanism has fluctuated according to the successive intellectual movements which have identified with it. But you can go to the Jared, go down there to the bottom. Go down to where it says, what is humanism? The third story down, the American Humanist Society. And they themselves, this goes back to a teaching that we did way a long time ago. They identified as a religion. They call themselves religious humanists. See if you can pull that up there, Jared. Let me get down here. Again, I'm flying, seeing my pants here. But trust me, the Supreme Court has ruled humanism is a religion.
Yeah.
Just Google it, guys. It's a religion. A religion. It's a set of beliefs. It's a set of beliefs. And so they've fooled us. There's religion in the schools. It's just humanism. That's a religion. You with me, JR?
Yeah, Coach, we used to be a nation of laws, and we hear that we're a nation of laws. We hear that all the time. But that really has changed. And what you're bringing out is what we are is a nation of opinions. And those opinions are being driven by emotions. The Constitution is just an inconvenience.
Yes.
That's how we look at it today.
Just like those Ten Commandments, right, JR?
Huh? Yeah. Yep.
Just it's the same thing. It's the same. The Bill of Rights. Yeah, they're okay, but they get in the way, so we're not going to ban them. We're going to change them, and we let them get away from away with it because there is a legal way that you're supposed to do it, and they don't follow the legal way. We allow them to break the law with impunity. That's the mess that we find ourselves in. So we're going to have to decide what's coming over the horizon, fellas. Mm-hmm. Is we're going to have to decide whether we're a nation, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, or not. That's really where this whole thing's heading. And when the clashes that are coming in the streets is it's going to be the God haters, the humanists and the God haters against those of us who have some semblance of morality inside of us. And that line is going to get more and more stark. We're going to understand it more and more, but it's going to require, which is what I'm all about, it's going to require a re-education of the men and women in the pews to understand exactly what's happened to us and what it is that we have to do about it. So I'm going to Austin, Texas, because I'm going to stand with those who want to, once again, recriminalize abortion. 9th and 10th Amendments give us the right to be able to do that. And if we don't push back against that federal beast, then they're going to bury us, man. They're going to bury us. We, John Paul Jones, I think it was, we've not yet begun to fight. That's the way I see it. We have not yet begun to fight. Battles are raging ahead of us. Jared, you had that up there before and took it down. It said religious humanism. Can you go back to that, Jared? I want people to see that. There's John Paul Jones. He may have said, we've met the enemy and they are ours. But go on down, Jared. What is religious humanism? Is that unbelievable, boys? Right there it is. Religious humanism. See, a religion is just a set of beliefs, or a set of duties or responsibilities that we owe to God, whatever that God might be. That's what religion is. People say, well, what religion are you? What they're asking you is, what are the rules and regulations that you follow? What are the doctrines and theology you follow? What religion are you? See, well, Christianity isn't a religion. It's not a religion. Christianity is a way of life. And you go to the average person and you ask them, what religion are you? And you know what they give you? Denomination. Oh, I'm Baptist. I'm Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist. No. It's Christian. You're Christian, aren't you? Oh, yeah, but we're Presbyterians. So, see, even in our own mind, we have separated ourselves from the unity that was only found in Jesus. Where there is unity, God will command the blessing. And we know that the Presbyterians, for the most part, won't have nothing to do with the Baptists. How are we ever going to win when that clear separation of them and family members is so prevalent? I don't know, man. I don't know. So I'm...
We've made Christians to be birds in cages, and now all they do is squabble back and forth.
Family feuds. We fight with each other, unfortunately. I want to finish up with this. In fact, I'm going to have to get rolling, so I'm going to play this. This came from Glenn. Glenn, our buddy out in Texas, sent me this. Jared, it says, find us faithful. I sent it all by itself. Find us faithful. This is a song written by Steve Green. And this is where I pup my tent. This is where I pitch my tent. I told you guys this many times. I get up every morning and look what's on my phone. And when first thing in the morning when I turn my phone on, I see. Hang on, bud. I see why I fight. And more than anything, I want my grandchildren, when they look back, I'm going to be found faithful. I'm going to be found faithful. And no matter what happens, I want my grandchildren to be able to tell stories to their grandchildren about the faithfulness of their grandpa, their grandfather, and how he tried to fight and how he tried to do the right thing. That's the legacy that I want to leave, to be found faithful. Scripture says to commit to faithful men, faithful men. And you think about it, what's our fidelity to? Our fidelity is not to the Lord, guys. We say it is, but our fidelity really isn't. Because if our fidelity was to him, and if our fidelity was to our offspring and our posterity, if our fidelity was to them, we wouldn't be sitting as quietly around watching all this stuff come down around us. So I'm going to have to go load up. Jared, go ahead and play that from Steve Green. Find us faithful. It's a great song. I thank Glenn for sending it to me. God bless you. I got to catch my plane. We'll see you tomorrow, all right?
pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road.